Chapter 1. Monday, 7th of January, 2019. Afternoon. Just before afternoon coffee break, the art dealer decided to kill Roberta Lord. He compressed a tennis ball, gazed out of the corner office window, and watched another heavy snow shower blanket the space between Tullamore's O'Carroll Street and Market Square. Snow was a natural enemy. It meant tracks and traces. But with more prolonged showers forecast for tonight, it would hide footprints and allow him to slip away unseen. He'd noticed her at a gallery 3 weeks earlier and sidled close enough to breathe in her scent and learn the basics. A single mother and artist, employed part-time in a cafe, struggling to stretch her income. He overheard her ask where she could find a copy of a particular book, and later he smelled her insecurity as she paused at a display and gave him a quick smile. No conversation, no phone number exchange, no swapped business cards. He'd taken the volume Roberta wanted from his library and kept it in his briefcase, an alibi if needed. He sat back and closed his eyes. Yes, in a few hours Roberta Lord will die. He willed his body to trigger the intense hormonal surge that swelled and gushed like waves, followed by blessed peace of mind and... A desk phone buzz interrupted his reverie. He stabbed a button on the console. Yes? Mrs. Wilson's downstairs. Get someone else to deal with her. She specifically, Ambrose perhaps, asked for you, won't talk to anybody else. Face muscles bunching, wishing he could throttle this new secretary. The art dealer glared at a digital desk clock as it blinked 2:49. Be right there, he said. 10 minutes. Have to be out of here in 10 minutes. He pressed an external line and dialed a local garage. My car is due a service, he told the receptionist. Of course. What day? Now. I'll transfer. 20 minutes. Have a replacement ready. The art dealer dropped the receiver, shoved the tennis ball into a pocket, grabbed his briefcase and marched out. At the lift he pressed the call button, lips curling in distaste when he saw the secretary totter towards him, teetering in tangerine high-heel courts. She gestured at the folder in her hand. I've typed and printed the file, sir. The art dealer stared at her and the secretary blushed, wary now. The one you said was urgent? Will I leave? I'll take it. The art dealer punched the lift button again, riffled through the pages and scowled at a typo on page 3. He gave up on the lift, pushed through an exit door and bounded downstairs. On the ground floor, he dumped the folder into a rubbish bin, patted down his hair, switched the scowl to a choir boy's smile and walked into the reception area, hand outstretched. Christine! So wonderful to see you again! The handshake was warm and firm. The art dealer placed his hand on the woman's elbow and guided her towards a viewing room. Now, his voice settling like smoke around the visitor, prepare to be impressed. 22 minutes later, across town in Kilcrutton Business Park, the man exchanged keys with a garage mechanic, made sure all lights and taillights worked. Faulty brake lights, that's how others got caught. And settled into a Toyota Avensis. He nosed the car onto the N52, passed by Charleville Domain, through Kilcormac Village, and signalled left after Fye Valley. The car jounced along a narrow potholed lane, and he glanced in at the empty farmhouse. When the road petered out, he stopped, opened a field gate, and inched the car up a gravel road that gave access to farm sheds. Eastwards, dark cloud banks hovered over Stillbrook Hill and Wolf Trap Mountain, presaging more snow. In a tool shed he slipped into Wellington's, donned a hooded raincoat, pulled on a pair of latex gloves, and cased the Toyota boot with a piece of old black tarpaulin used to wrap silage bales. Housed cattle stuck their heads under feed bars, lowing in expectation. From a toolbox he removed a wooden mallet and a steel-handled claw hammer with a rubber grip. He hefted each, judged weight and balance, decided on the mallet, and put it in the briefcase alongside a new pair of rubber gloves. From a shelf, he selected a tin of black paint and an artist's rigger brush. 8 strokes changed the registration numbers from 10340 to 18848. He stepped away, inspected his handiwork. Fine. Dabbed on a small alteration. Better. And placed a bottle of turpentine and a cloth on a shelf. He'd need them later. He left his mobile phone beside them, tore off the gloves, shoved them into an old fertilizer bag, and glanced around once more. In a tin box he found a rusted Stanley blade and placed it in the car's ashtray. A trickle of anticipation snaked up his spine. "Number 7," he murmured. "Your time is up." The art dealer retraced the route back to Tullamore, skirted the town and continued towards Kilbeggan. A quick glance at his wristwatch. 16:34. To the left, spotlights cast a shadow on the big house stitched into a glade on Hattinger's estate. He hadn't set foot inside since marrying into the family. Linking up with the M6 motorway, he headed west amid a convoy of commuters. 16:41. He needed to be in position by 5:15. Pillow drifts reduced the motorway to a single lane. The procession of vehicles slowed his progress. He'd have to risk a shortcut rather than take the more circuitous route. Westwards, the orange glow of Gainstown's lights appeared tantalisingly close, before another snow squall, thick as duck down, obliterated the view. A traffic diverted sign caused a hold-up. The man growled in frustration. He took out the tennis ball, squeezed it tight, ignoring the darts of pain that coiled and dug like strands of barbed wire around his brain, and glowered at the silent council machines barricaded behind traffic cones. Further repairs of the road surface, chewed away by weeks of Arctic ice and frost, would have to wait. He inched by, fury simmering. 16:58. Gritted his teeth and mind-mapped the quickest route to Oakview Lane. "If I turn left..." A van in front stopped. The art dealer jammed on the brake, skidded along the ice-crusted surface, his arms and body tensed, expecting an impact. He felt the pump-pump action in the pedal as the ABS system kicked in, tyres struggling for grip, and stopped centimetres away from a collision. Through narrowed eyes, he stared at a portable traffic light and willed it to turn green. Everywhere seemed similar in snowy suburbia. It took 18 minutes to find Oakview Lane, the cul-de-sac where Roberta Lord lived. The art dealer navigated into the dead end, where a lone streetlight cast shadows in the gloom. Roberta's house was still dark. He steered around a snow-covered car, halted 3/4 ways around a traffic circle, cut the lights, set the wipers to intermittent, and stared through a fresh flurry of billowing snowflakes. Then, with the patience of a spider, he settled into wait.